Welcome to Red Alert Radio, grassroots radio with an ear on the issues that matter to you. Hosted by your local Labour MPs.
Kia ora koutou, ko Deborah Russell toko ingoa, ko Taranaki te maonga, ko fo te awa, ko manoko te moana, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa. Kia ora everyone, my name is Deborah Russell and I'm the Labour candidate for New Lynn in the upcoming general election. My mihi or my greeting is a little bit mixed. I've lived in many places in New Zealand and so I identify myself with many places. I grew up in Taranaki and Tamaonga. The mountain, Mount Taranaki, is always in my dreams. But these days I'm living in Te Rerangi in the New Lynn electorate, and so the Faux River has become very important to me, as has the Manukau. Those are the scenes that that play in my mind when I think, where do I live, where do I locate myself? This is my first spot on Red Alert Radio, and I'm very keen to get your feedback. You can find me easily on social media, both on Twitter and on Facebook. If you search for Deborah Russell, that's spelt D-E-B-O-R-A-H, and Russell has two S's and two L's. If you just put in a search function like that, you should come up with me on either Twitter or Facebook, and I'd love to hear from you. We've also got a Red Alert Radio Facebook page. Search for Red Alert Radio AKL and you should find us. We're putting up links to the podcasts once they're up online, as well as other bits of useful news that's relevant to the show. And this is my first session on Red Alert Radio as a host. I hope to be back here frequently. So I'm working somewhat in exploratory mode, seeing what works for me and what could be done better. So I'd very much like your feedback on that. So first up, I'm going to spend a little bit of time telling you about myself and why I'm left. You know, for me, being left is about equality, not just a formal equality, but substantive equality. It means ensuring that people have the resources to be able to participate in society as equals, not one person subject to another, forced to bow and scrape just to get by, to beg for assistance, to live at the whim of bureaucrats and officials. In an equal society, each person can look the other in the eye, treat each other with respect, make agreements and negotiate and converse with each other with equal standing. And so how do we get that? With decent wages, with secure and safe housing, with a comprehensive safety net, with excellent universal health care so you needn't fear becoming ill, with great education so that you have an opportunity to make your way in the world, and with strong unions so that employers and employees can be partners. That's why I'm left. And it's why I'm in the Labour Party. In practical terms, it means working for warm, dry, affordable homes, properly funded healthcare, excellent education in well-resourced schools and polytechs and universities, and supporting the union movement. That's about all I want to say about me. I'm sure that over the months and hopefully years ahead, we'll get to know more about me and my views, and particularly through the people I talk to. So I want to move on to today's person that I'm talking to. You know, we hear a lot about young people in politics, about young people not being involved, that they don't care, that there's no way to reach them or talk to them. But today I'm very fortunate to have with me Pierre Marshall. Pierre's been in New Zealand for a couple of months volunteering on my campaign. He's from the UK, where he grew up in Oxford, and he went to the University of Sussex, where I think you've just got a master's degree. Is that right, Pierre? Yeah. He's been involved in left politics in the UK, and obviously he's been over here campaigning on our election. Look, I thought this would be a great opportunity to talk to someone from a different country about why he's involved in politics, about what he sees as the differences and similarities between New Zealand and UK politics, what he's learned while he's been here and so on. And I want to talk to him about young people in politics. So welcome along, Pierre. It's great to have you here.
Hi, Deborah.
Yeah. So to start off with, why don't you tell us a bit about yourself, you know, where you're from, what you've studied, what you hope to do in the future?
So I'm from Oxford. I studied geopolitics at Sussex. That was where I did my postgrad. I'm a supporter of the Labour Party. That's what I'm doing at the moment. I'm on your campaign. I'm a canoeist as well. So the river that I canoe on is the Thames, and
your hour.
That's my hour. Yes. Yeah. I have, I've been involved in politics for a long time, on a kind of community level in Oxford.
Okay. So you said your degree was in geopolitics. Can you explain a little bit what that's about?
Yeah, so it's about the an understanding of political movements and political of states as being shaped by their geography and by the history and the culture of the people that live there.
Okay, so in terms of New Zealand, we're an isolated island nation at the bottom of the world. What does that do to our politics?
Well, one of the things I've noticed, for example, is this, that goods in the shops are often produced here, and you have a lot of you have, for example, Pacific Islander communities here, and that sort of thing, which it changes the landscape and the way that people associate with each other.
Right, okay, that's a really interesting thought. Actually, now that you've said that, I just think the times when I've been in the UK and buying groceries there or buying fruit and veg, and you'll find onions from New Zealand or carrots from Israel and things like that, and it's just astonishing where all the fruit and veg comes from, and it's not necessarily down the road, whereas here that's a little bit unusual. So you're from Oxford, which is a very ancient town. I was just thinking when you said you're a canoeist that the stretch of the Thames that runs through Oxford is actually called the Isis, isn't it?
It is, correct, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There's some great pubs along the Isis that I can recall from the times I visited there. Okay, so you've got that degree in geopolitics. Has it influenced your views at all? Has it shifted your views?
A little, yeah, because it's kind of like international relations from a sort of imperialist right-wing standpoint. Although there is a sort of you can study it from a left perspective, but there's definitely a bent on it which looks at empires and looks at American foreign policy and things like that. And it has, I think, affected my understanding of the way that power is shifted and that sort of thing.
Okay.
It definitely has a focus on an emphasis on power relations. It's kind of, I guess, in a philosophical sense, you'd say it's like Foucault.
Foucault, all about power.
Yeah, it's all about relations between states and things.
Yeah, okay.
Not necessarily between classes.
Right, okay, so not necessarily a class analysis going on, but definitely a power dimension to the analysis there and things like that. It sounds really interesting. So, you know, what got you involved in politics? I mean, obviously you've got this very, an intellectual bent towards it, because you've studied it, but often, you know, people will have some ideas about politics but not necessarily do anything. So what's actually got you involved in doing politics, not just thinking about it?
So I was, when I was very young, I was kind of, an ethically conscious person, sort of person that, like, tries to recycle and do good, and my parents kind of raised me like that. And in Oxford, we have a car factory which makes mini cars, BMW minis.
Oh, the BMW, okay. They're talking about bringing out an electric mini actually just today. Sorry.
So probably from my hometown.
Yeah, cool.
And they had a point during the financial crisis when they were putting people on the kind of work. They were telling them, okay, you don't have to work this week. We'll put you on you can go home, and people were doing voluntary layoffs or voluntary taking time off work. And after a certain point, there were protests and things, and I got involved through that as well. My dad's friend works in the factory and was touched by the financial crisis, and I feel like very much the financial crisis was 2007-2008 was something which galvanized me into politics.
But you must have been quite young at that stage. Or sort of...
Yeah, I was 14 or 15 years old.
Right, so from your mid-teens, you sort of were looking at the events that were going on around you and seeing how affected people around you, and that's what got you going on politics.
Yeah, going to protests and things.
Okay, so waving placards and the like?
Yeah.
Yeah, so protest action. Any other sorts of political action that you've taken or been involved in?
I've been involved in more community-led campaigns. For example, in the UK we had a Conservative government which led an assault on public services, trying to cut libraries, cut social centres for young people in particular. So I was involved in a group of, along with the trade unions, to try and sort of push back against those and defend what we could of our social social provisions that we had in the community. In fact, there's an interesting anecdote about David Cameron's constituency, that at one point the local government in Whitney, which was his constituency, was pushing back against the Conservative government, saying we can't deal with these funding cuts anymore. So I was involved in sort of local community actions on that scale.
All right. That's quite interesting because, of course, local government in the UK handles education, doesn't it, and healthcare. That's handled by our central government here in New Zealand. So it's sort of a different scale of action. So when you talk about local government protesting against the actions of national government, that's not so common here in this country. Yeah, different sort of thing. So obviously that was when you were about 14 or 15, and then you went on to university down at the University of Sussex. Were you involved in politics there? Or?
Yes, I got involved in the student movement in about 2010, 2011. There were lots of protests and things, and over the introduction of tripled tuition fees.
Triple?
Yeah, they tripled the tuition fees for us from £3,000 to £9,000 a year.
Crikey.
And we did lots of, we went to meetings with people that, you know, you could, meetings in gym halls, sports, yep. sports halls, and turned up and there were like 200 people in the sports hall, and oh. we all went out on the streets and stuff. So, yeah, I came up through the student movement.
Right, okay, so that's obviously formed your political views, and I guess in a sense you've learned how to do politics in that context of, you know, not just the ideas, but the actual nuts and bolts of organising some stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. So you've worked on those sorts of campaigns. Were you involved in Jeremy Corbyn's campaign at all?
I did a little bit of leafleting for him in Brighton for Momentum, which was the group which supported him during the leadership bids, but not in any kind of direct way. I mean, I was more involved in the Labour Party more generally.
Right, okay. So you're actually a member of the Labour Party in the UK then, or...? Just sort of
supporter
there. Supporter, fair enough. But you're out there doing the leafleting and things like that. So were you pretty interested in Corbyn's views, or?
Yeah, he's an interesting man. generally, I think he ran a very positive campaign in the UK, which did galvanise young people, and was very. He comes across as very authentic and very genuine because he's been a figure on the left for many years. And he's not a, when he speaks from some position of experience, because he has this long history and he can be different to other politicians who might have come in quickly through the party machine, whereas he has this long-standing record of being an organiser and things like that.
Right, so he's been there a long time and... And it's interesting looking back at his views over the years. They seem to have stayed pretty consistent over the years.
Yeah, he was protesting against apartheid in the 1980s and things like that.
So. Right, okay. I'm just going to put it out there that so was I, but back in the 1980s, so as a university student, which was where I first did some politics as well. So what do you see as the similarities between the left in the UK and in New Zealand? Do you see any similarities?
Yes, there are. The Labour Party definitely organises on much the same sort of issues, and we have similar problems in the UK as we do in at least in the UK, in the south of the UK, where I come from, Oxford and London and things. So housing crisis,
right,
is a big issue. The general squeezing of people's wages and living conditions is something which is also something. It touches us in the UK and it touches people in New Zealand as well.
Mm-hmm. So you said the housing crisis, but we're familiar with the broad outlines of the housing crisis here in New Zealand, that that house prices have skyrocketed well beyond people's wages, that it's hard to find rentals, that if you can find a rental, they're not exactly warm, dry, safe homes. Those are the sorts of issues here in New Zealand. Are they similar issues in the UK, or are there different dimensions to them?
Yes, it's basically the same thing. You also have people who there's a movement. There was a movement to sell off council housing. Mm-hmm. Thatcher initiated that one, and people were given the right to buy their own council housing. Similar to here, the national government, I believe, is trying to sell off state homes. So taking housing out of communal land, communal ownership, and placing it in and commodifying housing, trying to turn it into something that can be placed on the market, and you know, and then, and of course, once it's placed on the market, it starts being priced out of people.
Yep. So same sorts of issues. It's kind of interesting and sad that they're worldwide issues.
Yeah, in the advanced countries, these really are the points at which the working people are touched on. You know, accommodation, their living conditions are really being squeezed.
Yep. What about healthcare? Is that an issue in the UK as well?
In some respect, it is, because the Tories have a somewhat hostile attitude towards the healthcare system. They don't like the NHS, and they gradually have been introducing elements of marketisation, trying to, you know, open it up to the market and place things out, contracts out to tender for various services. And they've also been there's a funding crisis as well, which is they've gradually driven down, cut the funding for many years, to the point at which local NHS boards and things are starting to say, well, we can't fund things. We need to have the money to run our hospitals and things. So that is a really big crisis, to be fair, and it's something which the Labour Party in the UK has consistently said, we will provide the necessary funding for your healthcare services, because it was a Labour Party thing. We set up the NHS in 1945, and that was our creation.
Yeah, so similarly, I think the Labour Party in New Zealand is very proud of state housing, because it was started in the 1930s by a Labour government. And we're saying that's a really important thing for us to be doing, is providing secure housing. So there are some similarities across housing and across healthcare, and I presume across other issues as well. What about in terms of political practice, the way that politics is done? Do you see similarities between New Zealand and the UK?
I feel like the parties in the UK are a lot more. They focus a lot more on the party branch as a unit of organisation, and here it seems a little bit more fluid.
Mm-hmm.
That people organise across a wide area. It's partly because of the geographical situation that there's New Zealand is a rather rural country in some areas, and even Auckland is quite spread out. It's not a very concentrated area.
Right, okay. So I've noticed that about Auckland. It does sprawl everywhere. I guess I wonder if that's driven in part too by our MMP system of voting. So in the UK, my understanding is it's a first-past-the-post system. So each electorate votes and that's that, in your electorate only. But here we've got, as well as having an electorate vote, we have a party vote, and that's what determines our government. Do you think that might be driving some of the different political practices that you've just talked about?
Yes, that definitely. I hadn't thought of that, but that's an excellent point, which is that in the UK, each MP, each candidate in each constituency fights for their seat and their seat only.
Mm.
And here you have this party list system where you vote across the country, everyone votes on a party list, and that means that you can vote not just on specific local issues, but also on the general, broader situation.
Yep, it certainly makes campaigning quite interesting, because they're doing it over quite a broad range. So that's one of quite an interesting difference between UK politics and New Zealand politics. Have you picked up anything else that you regard as a difference, or you're not quite sure about yet, or...?
No, I mean, I think the countries are actually very similar in their history as well. So, in many respects, the Labour campaign here is similar to the Labour campaign in England. It was actually I've seen a lot of similarities.
All right, okay. So across the campaigns, so you've obviously been campaigning in the UK, and you've got some, you know, protest experience and organisational experience there. But you've been here for what, a couple of months now? I've lost track a little bit. Have you learned stuff while you've been here?
Yes, I think one of the formative experiences has been door knocking in New Lynn, and being able to speak to people. And experience directly their concerns is something which I hadn't really figured out before, which was that when you knock on someone's door and you know that, you know, housing is an issue and that the people have leaky homes, and then someone invites you in and they say, look at my home, it's leaking. And that's something which I don't think has ever really happened to me before.
Right, okay. So have you enjoyed that door knocking?
Yes, I really enjoy when someone has an issue and they show it to you and they go, look, this is it.
Yeah.
That's something which I haven't really had before.
Right, okay. So, yeah, I really enjoy that. Well, we call it direct voter contact, so it's got this formal label, but to me it's a person connecting with another person, and it really makes a difference in campaigning. And you've been doing a lot of organisational work as well.
Yep, political campaigns take a lot of scheduling, a lot of managing people and that sort of thing. So, yeah, I've been doing quite a fair bit of that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, is that new for you, or is it something you've done a bit of back in the UK?
It's something I've done a bit of before. I was the election coordinator for the 2015 election in the UK, and I did some work kind of, you know, telling volunteers where to go, organising lists, street lists for door knocks and things like that.
Right, okay, so you've got some of that practical nuts and bolts stuff, because, often people have this image of politics that it's all about being out there on a soapbox and saying stuff, but there's a lot of grunt work that goes on as well. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so I guess the other thing that I was really interested in, and that it's a huge problem or a puzzle for us, is in terms of thinking about how we get young people involved in politics. And, you know, the first type of thing is, should we be getting young people involved in politics and political campaigns?
I'm emphatically yes. As a young person, I would say that young people have a lot to contribute to the political system if you get them thinking about these things when they're teenagers. They grow up and that's when they start forming their attitude to society and their relations with everyone else. And it forms part of a healthy democratic culture.
Right, okay. So in terms of we should get young people involved, what do you think their involvement should be? What sorts of things should young people be doing? Or would we, I shouldn't say should, I shouldn't, we shouldn't be telling them what to do, but what would we like them to be doing?
Well, I take a view that politics is more than about just elections, mm-hmm. and that young people being involved is about participation in the running of their society. So, youth clubs, for example, are a good one. If you're joining your youth club, and then you can have conversations with people. It's not necessarily about a mechanistic act of voting, but it's about getting young people to participate in the general communal organisations of society. So youth clubs, the kinds of community campaigns which you have, which focus around local infrastructure and things like that.
Yeah. Actually, it's interesting just thinking about that, because just before we came here to record this discussion, you and I were both at the University of Auckland with their Clubs Day. So all the days on which people are running a club, put a desk out and they say to new students, come and join our club. And to be honest, there didn't seem to be a lot of new people doing a lot of sign-ups.
Yeah, I was part of the Oxford Brookes University Labour Club as well, and it's sometimes difficult in the university environment, because half the people go over to the other stall, which has like the magic stall or something.
Yeah, they were right beside us, weren't they?
Yeah,
seemed like nice people, but yeah.
I'm part of the issue with the students recruiting students is that we're not fun. Or not. We're not as fun as the Labour Party needs to be kind of interesting and exciting, and you know, it has to have something which, if you're your average 20-year-old is wandering along thinking, ooh, this looks interesting, you know, there needs to be some kind of thing to get them engaged.
Can you think of what it might be? Because what sorts of things could we do that make us interesting or viable for young people?
Well, one of the things that Jeremy Corbyn did in his election campaign was to talk to grime artists.
Grime artists?
Yeah, so hip-hop music.
Ah.
And it came, and he was people kind of laughed at him for it. You know, it's kind of funny that this old man's talking to these young people down with the youth. But actually, because he was so authentic, he was, you know, I'm here, I'm talking to you. And he was in on the joke.
Right.
And I think having a kind of self-referential thing where you say, look, we know that it's a bit dorky and a bit weird, but it's actually kind of funny and it's enjoyable, and we believe in the same things as you do, that touches people sometimes.
Right, so I think what you're tapping into there is the authenticity. I know that as a woman in my 50s, trying to pretend that I'm sort of down with the kids is just a hopeless thing. I shouldn't even begin to try, but I really enjoy working with young people. I think it's better just to say, hey, I'm enjoying this is fun, not because I'm one of you, because I'm not, I'm in my 50s, but because it's that sense of young people matter. You actually matter to me. And I think that I suspect that's what Jeremy Corbyn was really signifying, was that young people actually really mattered to him. Yeah, okay. So we could try that talking to hip-hop. Have you got any other thoughts? Branches of a party or most people are activists don't have easy access to hip-hop artists or the like.
More generally, I think at being involved in the sort of movements which young people are involved in, so where it actually sometimes young people do get involved, and what I feel is that it's our job to be there whenever students mobilise on things, and they say, well, we have grievances. It's our job as a political party to stand in and say, oh, we're with you.
We're listening, we're with you.
We'll bring you in, and kind of here's what we can do to help.
Yeah. Actually, one thing I've really enjoyed in the last couple of months is having a team of young people working with me. But one thing that's has puzzled me is how to make sure that the people working on the campaign have had meaningful work. So obviously there's the door knocking and the phone calling, but I've sort of wanted them to be able to do some other stuff too. So they go, actually, I've made a real contribution here. And quite a number of the young people who've been working with me have actually made serious contributions, for which I'm very, very grateful.
I mean, it's also rather it's weird to say, but election campaigns are fun. They can be enjoyable experiences when you're all getting together, and yeah, it's there's a certain spirit of communal working together in the same party, which is enjoyable.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. You just go out and have a jolly good time, and that's certainly been my experience. Last time around and this time around, that we've just had a lot of fun on the campaign trail. And my best experiences last time around were in the Tamaranui Cosy Club, which is really good fun. And again, you know, working with young people. Well, as I said, we'll work on some of those things. Any last thoughts on getting young people involved or anything that you had in mind? Well, I think we've got about a minute to talk about it.
Target lecturers at university.
Okay, lecturers at universities.
The point of me being involved was with the Labour Club was that there was a lecturer at my university who was standing as a candidate.
And that's what got you hooked in.
That's what pulled me in, yeah.
More of that personal contact again, I guess, and that's the way it does it. Well, I'll have to sort of think about all those things, and particularly that personal and authentic contact, I guess. Well, I think that's about it for today. Thank you for listening, everyone, and we'd love to hear your feedback on Twitter or Facebook. You can listen to this interview again or any of our back catalogue via the Planet FM website. That's Planet Audio, all one word, .org.nz, planetaudio.org.nz. So you check out programs there, and then we're listed under R for Red Alert. Plus, do check out our Facebook page. Search for Red Alert Radio Auckland, AKL. Many thanks to my lovely friend Julie Ferry for helping me with this first Red Alert session that I'm running, and to Pierre Marshall, who's been a fantastic first guest for me on this show. I've really appreciated you talking today, Pierre. This has been Deborah Russell for Red Alert Radio. Ka kite anō.
Get together with your local MP next week at 9:05 a.m. or listen online anytime on planetaudio.org.nz/redalertradio.